Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, reading verse 10 and verse 17. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, believing your word, believing it to be true, believing it to be divinely inspired and for us today. It's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it speaks to the heart. Lord, help me to preach what I believe you've given to me, and give the people understanding, and help their ears to be ears that hear. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, in the wonderful, precious, and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Preaching for a few minutes on the subject, Son of Man, give them warning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Lord, thank you for the wonderful things and the blessings that you have given unto us. Lord, we are simply not worthy of the least of thy mercies, as the prophet said. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Many have preached on this verse. And in these first few chapters of the book of Ezekiel, we find Ezekiel's call, that great prophet Ezekiel, who gave us this book. In chapter 1 it begins. It says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." This is the great prophet Ezekiel, as I said, and we are reading his call. And I want to say that preachers need to have a call like this. I'm sure that one will be called a certain way, that God will reveal himself a certain way to one man and a different way to another. How God speaks to you is not my problem. It's God's problem. But it says, "The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." The preacher must have a vision of God, not that he necessarily sees with his eyes or somehow in the spirit in a vision or a dream. I'm not saying you have to have anything like that, but I am saying you must get a vision of God. You must understand his holiness. You must understand his magnificence. You must understand the plan of God that Jesus, the Son, came down to this earth, became a man, and lived and died for the sins of the world. You must understand this, preacher. You must understand this, Sunday school teacher. You must have a vision of God. I believe it's essential if we're going to preach the gospel, we must know who it is we're preaching about. You must be born again. You must have a touch of God on your life if you're going to take this book and try to preach it. preacher, spend time in the Word of God. Get to know it. Read through the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. Read the Minor Prophets. Read the Epistles. Get to know the Word of God. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I believe that it was David that said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's essential that the preacher have a relationship with God and know the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, He says, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You must know the Bible. You must understand it. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology, but you need to get your nose in the book and read it. As you read it, as you study it, as you meditate on it, as you turn it over in your mind, you begin to understand the things of God. This is the only body of revealed text on planet Earth. I've mentioned this before. You've got the Quran, you've got the Gita, you've got these other books. But none of these other books are from God. You have the great philosophers, and they will tell you this or that. But none of these other books, again, written by men, give you truth. Truth is found in the person, Jesus Christ. But He is revealed to us in the pages of the book that I have in my hand, the Bible. You must know it. You must understand it. You must try to understand it. Try to understand the great doctrines of the faith. And in so doing, you'll come to know the Lord of glory. You must have a relationship with God. You need to spend time in prayer. In the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 6, when they appointed the deacons, the apostle said that we don't have time to wait tables, but we'll give ourselves continually to the Word of God and to prayer. You must spend time in prayer with God, asking for the things that you need. You need to learn dependence upon Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. As you study the Word of God, you will come to know the Lord. God will give you direction as you pray. You've studied, you've tried to understand the great doctrines of the faith, but as you spend time alone with God in prayer, in supplication, maybe in intercession, waiting on God, you'll learn to trust Him. You'll learn what that still small voice is as you spend time quietly before God, waiting on Him. The apostle says, You have not because you ask not, and you receive not because you ask amiss. Prayer is coming to God and asking Him for the things that you need. Preacher, you need to go to God and ask Him for the things that you need. In the book of Luke, in chapter 9, and again in chapter 10, He sent the 12 and the 70 out to go preach, to do a little missionary work, and He said, Just go. Don't go home and pack. Don't bring extra provisions. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep or what you're going to eat. Just to go. They had to depend upon God and trust God. And God met them. God helped them. God was with them. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. If you're lonely, go to God in prayer. If you're discouraged, go to God in prayer. We know from the book of 2 Corinthians, that God gives comfort to the preacher. If you're worried, if you're fill in the blank, go to God with your problem. Learn how to depend upon Him. But the prophet says, I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. We're to lay up treasures in heaven, and there our heart will be also. Verse 4, And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. This at least seems similar to what we saw in the book of Exodus, as we've been studying, in chapter 19 of that great book. But it says in verse 5, Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, they had the likeness of a man. And it goes on down and gives a description of these creatures or beasts, and I won't take the time to go through it. But it says in verse 15, Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now I can't tell you that I understand everything that he's talking about. I know some of this is symbolic. A man that lived thousands of years ago was trying to describe the things in heaven. This was strange to him. I don't know if there was any technology involved. But he was trying to describe something that he really didn't understand. But we've heard about the wheel in the middle of a wheel, and this is that verse. But it says in verse 25, And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, where they stood, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. He is describing the creatures that he saw, and the environment that they were in, or the room or whatever that they were in. But then in verse 25 and 26 and 27, he sees the Lord, and he's trying to describe what he sees. This is either God the Father or God the Son. I don't know exactly who's on the throne. But he sees the Lord. The first verse we read, it says he had visions of God. He's shown around heaven. He sees these creatures that he tries to describe. Then he sees God on his throne, and he begins to describe God. Now again, this is the great prophet Ezekiel. This is his calling. In the next couple of chapters, he's sent to the nation of Israel to preach to them. But before he's sent out to preach, before he's given what to say, he has a vision of God. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In verse 8 he says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's imperative, preacher, evangelist, teacher, pastor, what have you. It's imperative that you have a vision of God, that God reveals himself to you. You cannot preach in your own power. It's not possible. Oh, you can go through the motions. But you and I both know the good preachers. They've had a vision of God. They've had the Lord revealed in their heart and in their life. They have something to preach about because they've met who they're preaching about. You look at the Apostle Paul. He was born out of time, he said. But on that road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him and spoke with him and revealed himself to him. And he was struck blind and they led him into the city. But he had seen the Lord. He had met the Lord. And he had something to preach about. He's an apostle. He was one sent with a message. That's what the word apostle means, one that is sent. Christ sent him after Christ had revealed himself to him. But it says in verse 28 of this chapter, chapter 1, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. He's describing a rainbow. And as we see in the book of Revelation, God's throne has a rainbow around it. When God, in the book of Genesis, gave the rainbow after the flood, there's also a rainbow around God's throne. The rainbow constantly reminds us of God's covenant with man. And the rainbow around God's throne constantly reminds him of his covenant with man. But in chapter 2 of this great book, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. If we're going to preach the gospel, we need to get a message from God. We need to get our sermons from God, and not out of some book somewhere. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and he set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus said in the book of Acts chapter 1. We need to hear from heaven. We need a vision of God. And we need to be full of God's Spirit if we're to effectively preach the gospel. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Preacher, you listen to me. This is what you're supposed to preach. Thus saith the Lord God. Not thus saith Maslow, Jung, Rogers, and Freud, but thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith the psychologist, not thus saith the modernist, certainly not thus saith the postmodernist, but you're to say, thus saith the Lord. You're to preach His Word and His great gospel. You're not to preach tradition. You're not to preach about your denomination. You're not to preach any of 100 or 1,000 other things, but you're to preach the Word of God. Tell your flock the things that God has spoken to you in your prayer closet. Tell the flock what God has revealed to you as you've studied and read His Word. You're to hear from heaven and preach. But turning to chapter 3 of this book, he says in verse 1, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and speak unto the house of Israel. He's talking about the Word of God, the Book of Life, the book I hold in my hand, and the one you also should hold in your hand when you stand before your congregation. Eat that thou findest. Eat this book. Eat this roll. You're to devour the Word of God. You're to spend time in it, to study it, as I said before. Get your doctrine from the Word of God. Get your sermon from the Word of God. Get your message from the Word of God. Eat this roll. Fall in love with this book. Learn it. Rightly divide it. Cling to it. Depend upon it. Eat this roll. Verse 2, So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I'm going to say it again. This is your answer. The Word of God is the answer for the needs of your flock. The Word of God has the solution for whatever problem you face. And as a minister, as a pastor, as a shepherd, it is your duty to feed the flock. And you're to feed them from what you've read. You're to feed them from what you've studied. You're to feed them from the relationship that you've taken time to cultivate with the Lord. But he says, as he ate the roll, it was as honey for sweetness. The Word of God brings comfort, as I said. The Word of God can be your best friend. I know Jesus is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I understand that. But he's revealed to us through his Word. Verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. He that hath ears to hear, and eyes to hear and see, and understand, he says. Receive it into your heart, this book. Forget what the evolutionist says. Forget what the so-called scientist says. Trust what this book says. If you preach from this book, you will not steer your congregation wrong. But verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You have a charge, preacher. You have a charge, pastor, evangelist, what have you. To warn the wicked. What do you mean, warn the wicked? We know exactly what we mean when we say warn the wicked. There's a great judgment coming. We know it is the great tribulation. And we know that it's appointed unto man once to die, but then comes the judgment. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We know the wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from God. We know that there's a judgment coming, and we must warn the wicked. We must tell them that the only way to escape hell is to trust in Jesus Christ. We must warn the wicked. It's our duty to warn the wicked. It's our reasonable service. We must preach the gospel. We must warn the wicked. We as preachers are laborers in God's vineyard, and God's fields are wide unto harvest. We must preach the gospel. We must lift up the name of Jesus. We must tell them of the gospel, that Jesus died for the sins of the world. We must preach this message. We must warn the wicked. And God help us to do exactly as He said. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.